Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Matt is here. He's finishing up a snack. He is inhaling his snack so he can get to the unmute button before we start. Shannon also joins us. We are freshly and in very tiresome state back from California. I don't really know what day it is. Thankfully, I have a reminder saved in my phone for when we have to record. Otherwise, I would be asleep on the couch right now.
I was literally sitting around a fire, looked at my phone, and it was 8:24, and I was like, oh, no!
It's Thursday, right? Because that's when the people are listening to this?
Hopefully. Yes.
All right, hopefully. Well, happy Thursday.
Shannon's animals also are excited today. Huh? But, you know, that's the way it be sometimes.
My kids came home, apparently. I don't have to go get them.
Well,
minor details. Woohoo, two-hour episode incoming.
So yeah, where do we start? I am so tired. I'm just gonna, Matt, you got this.
So host, how was your sleeping schedule for the last 4 days?
A disaster.
Okay, cool. Next, let's see. Long Beach was this last weekend. That was a lot of fun to watch on television. Definitely some interesting moments that we are going to get to not only on Sunday, but kind of the whole weekend. So for those who missed it, Joseph Newgarden did win his second straight race. Penske is now a 3-for-3 on the year. Grosjean second. Good job for him. Pelot third. Power fourth. And Pato with a nice recovery after a below average qualifying to P5.
Yeah.
Not sure where we want to start. We could start by talking about maybe the most critical moments of the race, which was a lot of the pit sequences. Newgarden and Pelot managed to get around Herta, who later crashed, which we'll touch on in a bit. But Team Penske obviously seems very strong. Newgarden, with the help of Team Penske, got to the front. Is it still too early to extract too much out of these races, or is it? Can we lick the stamp and say that the IndyCar champion this year will be from Team Penske?
It's a little too early, but
it's a little early.
But
you
it's
guys
enough.
Always say that though.
Yeah, but like I would say, the IndyCar champion probably isn't going to come from Andretti Autosport.
Oh, God.
Shots fired already.
Shots fired.
I mean, is that even a shot?
I was trying to be nice. I just...
Host, that was so rude. Can you send out a public apology once this publishes?
Yes, I will. I'm sorry. Too much doom and gloom early in the episode. Is that what I'm gathering?
No, I think it's too much doom and gloom from you because people expect it from Shannon and I.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry.
You're the sunshine and rainbows of the
podcast. Wait, when Mike is the sunshine and rainbows,
how did we get
something wrong with our podcast? Yeah.
Well, it was nice knowing y'all.
Is this the same man who was screaming at a Lyft driver on Sunday afternoon?
Because
sunshine and rainbows.
Hickey, I thought you were talking about this man scream. No. I've never seen this man scream. We were waiting for a Lyft. Three of them canceled on us. The next one comes, and he won't take. Road America and Arlene are with us, and he won't take all four of us, even though Mike was like, there's four of us when we booked the thing. Yes.
Was this a COVID thing, or was this he was just being a stubborn jackass thing?
TBD.
Don't know. Honestly.
Because it wasn't listed on the Lyft's, right? It wasn't listed on their website one way or the other.
Yeah, I was like, listen, we all have masks. Like, I had my mask in my hand. I'm okay wearing it in Lyft, Uber, whatever. And he first got angry at me because as I'm trying to talk to him, the Porsche Carrera Cup race is going on. It's very loud. So I was naturally talking louder, not to, at the time, yell at him, but just so that he could hear me. And so then he got mad and started saying, like, no, I'm not going to take you guys. And he's like, I'll only take three of you, not all four of you. And it just didn't make any sense. And I think, you know, the combination of lack of sleep, how incredibly rude he was, and the fact that that was our, you know, third attempt at getting a lift. And we were, you know, a couple blocks away from kind of where the center of traffic was. You know, we should have been okay to get one, and we just weren't. And it was it was very exhausting.
So he screamed.
I did.
So host is an asshole is what I hear.
He yelled and I didn't know what to do. I was like, do you want me to wait with you? And he was like, no, you get in that Uber and he will take the three of you. I was like, okay.
So then I switched to Uber, and I got an Uber literally 4 minutes later, and I was home. And I walked back in the Airbnb, and I walked in. I was like, hi, guys. Like, I was fine after that. It just, in the moment, it's just lack of respect. It was just really frustrating.
Well, it all happens to us differently because, you know, my teammate wrecked me last night, so I got frustrated. It happens. I think we all have our own quirks. I think one of the things I've noticed about you is you have a casually smaller than average fuse when it comes to kind of like public workers and whatever. Like if they're like slightly sort of disrespectful to you, you're not going to have it.
I mean, that's 100% accurate.
Yeah, I can't sit here and say I don't have my short fuses, mainly if the Chicago Bears are on. Then you'll see peak anger come out of me. Other than that, how was your weekend? Was there any other short? I kept seeing that. Was it just like a lot of, was it a mixture of heat and a lot of walking and?
It just started, I think because it was legitimately 100 degrees the first 2 days, it just really takes that out of you. And then being at the track for, you know, 12 hours a day. Pit lane was exhausting because it was so small and you were literally dodging people left and right. There was a whole lot of people.
The track security was very difficult to deal with. I actually didn't yell at any of them, but they were very difficult to deal with.
I have only ever heard negative things about Long Beach, and that's mainly because I've only talked to 4 people about Long Beach, and you two are 2 of them, and Lighting's the 3rd one. Lighting didn't have the most nice of things to say about his race day experience there as a fan. And so you guys are obviously on the other side of it with the media. And even
I will say that like they did an excellent job of putting together an event, right? Like it was a good event for people to go to enjoy a race. I'll give you that. It was an exhausting event to be a part of as someone who has to do a job.
Yeah, fair statement. Well said.
Fair statement. Okay, so back to, I think we're going to get to Gateway, and I'm going to throw out a take, and you guys are going to be like, it might be too soon. I don't know if we can, might be too early to say that. go ahead, lick the stamp, sharpie it. A champion will be from Team Penske. Go ahead and take that to the bank. I say that as we've gone 3 races now. 4 people are over 100 points, and 3 of them are Team Penske drivers. And there's only 3 Team Penske drivers out there.
Can you remind?
I barely saw the replay. Scott McLaughlin's incident was a little unfortunate.
Can you remind me what happened?
Yes, I think it was sort of around lap 30-ish, if I remember correctly. And I think it was Calderon. I don't think it was Kirkwood, even though their cars are identical. I think he was coming up on Calderon and was coming through the hairpin and wanted to get a really good run off the corner to make sure that he could clear her going down the straight into turn 1, and undercut the exit of the corner a little too much and caught his side pod on the corner of the wall and not his tire. So his suspension was completely fine because it actually didn't touch anything. But then he spun it, so then he had to drive backwards into, I think it was oncoming Simon Pagenaud, flip a Yui and had about his day. But obviously that set him back a lot of seconds in many positions. So
that's why human. That's why I couldn't figure out exactly what happened in the moment, because I couldn't figure out what did he hit if he kept going totally fine. Now it makes sense. Thank you.
I do want to point out that host on social media defended 4 wheels and an engine. I do appreciate that.
You did?
I did. I mean,
Didn't you say that someone like ran out of fuel into the pits and...
He did, yeah. But I wasn't defending him. I was just stating what happened.
You were backing him up. You're like, this is the reason that he fell down 2 laps.
Right. Listen, I'm not going
to... Facts, though. Like, that's factual. We have to report facts.
Well, you can frame facts a certain way. You could be like, you could frame it as, oh, hey,
he ran out of fuel.
Yeah, he ran out of fuel, or he finished 3 laps down. What a loser. But he's just like, hey, listen, Lundgaard ran out of fuel. They had to bump start him or whatever. They had to push his car back and blah, blah, blah. And that's the reason he finished where he did.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to be unbiased of you. I'm not going to be unnecessarily mean to him most of the time.
Now, if Christian Lundgaard ever became a Lyft driver,
deleting the app. Deleting the app.
Watch out, world.
Actually, watch out, Lyft.
Oh, God. One stars all around there. What else we got? Okay, well, I think the funniest moment of the whole weekend was definitely Marcus Ericsson. Well, his incident was not funny because he was running third, and that was quite unfortunate. But we got another meme-worthy racing thing with Ericsson sitting off the side in turn four. At one point, he had his arms folded across his chest. Another moment, he was sitting in a lawn chair. He was very, very sad to be in his predicament there. And I thought IndyCar did a good job of poking fun at that.
Yeah. Also, good for him for, you know, being able to get the car somewhere where the race was not at the time yellow flag before the end. Obviously, Sato said, "I got this anyway." But you know,
imagine that.
Ooh, shots fired.
Well, at least he got his car into a place where he didn't hit his teammate.
Yeah, wow. That was almost even more disastrous.
Finished sixth, though. Somehow, someway.
I think it's not even both him and anymore. Both him and Pato had like quietly good days that like probably you didn't see him on TV all that much at all. But
don't worry,
you know,
somebody will tell us how many times they were on TV.
Yeah.
What did I miss?
It'll be for after the recording.
Later.
Yeah.
But I don't know what these guys are talking about. We never talk shit after the episode. Never. Mm-mm. Never. Never. Never.
Only about Cody Bray.
I honestly like. Look, I watched the entire race, and I still don't know what happened to half the people.
Yeah,
I spent so much time fighting my freaking phone to try to get things to post that I don't know what happened.
Let me try to roll through here. Rossi had the pit issue. Elio hurt his hip crossing the street before the race. Rosenquist had the bad first stint with the tires and whatnot, so that really set him back. Connor Daly had not a bad day. I don't
quietly
think anything
good.
Wrong with him. Yeah. McLaughlin had a spin, which we talked about. Sato, is Sato. Lundgaard had his issues with the pitting and the running out of fuel. Pagano got sent to the hedges. Jimmy, I'm going to talk about in a second. Malukas was wrecked by Jimmy. Ericsson wrecked himself. Herder wrecked himself. Callum Ilott crashed?
Callum Ilott brushed the wall in turn eight.
Brushed the wall.
Retired because they didn't think they could fix it.
Slept through that. Devlin, wow, Devlin didn't finish again. And Dalton crashed. So, I kind of want to talk about Jimmy Johnson since he's the kind of guy I glossed over there. I applaud him for finishing the race. Or not
trying
finishing.
To.
I applaud him for making it through 80% of the race, 85% of the race. Still not his finest weekend by any stretch of the imagination. I think we in year two are at the point where, like, let's say he qualified 20th, ran around, and finished 17th on a road course and didn't really, like, you know, didn't put a wheel wrong, like maybe had a spin here and there, but didn't crash the car, didn't damage anything. Like, we could just, like, all right, whatever, we don't need to talk about it. But when you crash as many times as he did this weekend and then take somebody out in the race, there's no sugarcoating the fact that it was a shit weekend for Jimmy.
So, yes, it was dismal. To make matters even worse, the transporter on the way out to California blew a tire, so they were a day behind schedule and didn't even get the car wrapped in the special livery for this weekend until like late Thursday afternoon or something along those lines. Very good looking car. So that team needs a strong drink or 12 maybe every day this week because, yeah, unfortunately, I applaud Jimmy's effort. It was a badass effort to go out there with a broken hand that needed, you know, some sort of minor surgery that he had yesterday, I guess. It was Monday, I think. Monday or earlier today, I don't really know. But yeah, it was a little rough, but yeah.
I feel so bad for him. I just feel like everything happens every weekend. It's like, what? I don't know what the answer is, really, but I feel bad about it.
I don't know. It seemed like a couple of those were self-inflicted.
I mean, I'm not saying they're not. I just wish it wasn't as hard for him.
You know, like, really, he wouldn't have broken his hand if he just took
his hands off
the hands wheel. Off the wheel. And it's just...
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be able to take my hands off the wheel in time. Although I also wouldn't be able to get around a corner in an Indy car. So, yeah, I'm hoping for... I mean, Barber was early on in the schedule last year, but definitely not his best race last year either. So I am very concerned for Barber that we may see an incident or two out of him again.
But wasn't Barber the first race last year for him?
Barber was number one last year.
Yeah, so I feel like that's...
I don't not, know.
Right? Right?
No, you're Barber right, because St. Pete got flipped to the second race. Newgarden had his spin and issue.
That's right, Newgarden crashing on the field. Huh. Yeah, so yeah. It was his first race.
So I don't feel so... I don't feel like...
But they did test comparison. There.
Nah.
They also got another test there this past... Or a week ago, so... Maybe
so even less excuse.
Less excuse this time.
He hasn't done anything yet, so but, there's nothing to make excuses for just yet.
This is like a prereq. Like we're preparing ourselves to not make excuses for him spinning or crashing this weekend, whatever. Four weeks from now, whatever the hell the next race is.
Okay. Oh, don't get.
Oh,
me
we're not doing that. Oh, I still have feelings about that, but it's not worth the energy. I
right,
still think this,
it's not.
There's nothing I can do about it.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Nothing we can do about it, but I still think the schedule could use some work next year. Well, let's move into the Andretti hour.
Drink.
Shannon, I'll cue you up for this. Herta crashed from P3. Rossi had a bad pit stop that set him back maybe a position or two. Devlin crashed. Grosjean had a good day. I think Grosjean kind of had a flawless day. Nothing stood out as far as like him hitting anybody or bad pit stop or anything. So Grosjean did good. So another week of kind of Andretti failures for, we'll say, a good majority of the team. Is there anything to add on to what we've already said in previous episodes about this shithousery of a team right now?
You know, I'll tell you, all I have one thing to say is that they got my hopes up just to let me down. Okay. I don't know why I was like, oh my God, this might be it. And then it wasn't.
And that's again,
all I have to say about that.
It was more unforced errors. The Herta pit stop, which was almost 10 seconds long. And I know like didn't help that he almost went in the wrong pit stall to start. Then, you know, forcing it when he shouldn't have and hit the wall. Rossi, a slightly slow pit stop. Devlin is his own case, and you know Grosjean, like outside of almost hitting somebody in morning warm up again, he had a really good day. So he was definitely the best Andretti driver all weekend that made it through unscathed on Sunday.
It feels bad that out of four cars, there's only one of them every weekend that is going to end up being okay,
Yeah, I think what we can conclude with Colton Herta right now is he is one of the fastest drivers in the field, but I just don't think he's ready to take like that Scott Dixon-esque step to be a legitimate championship contender on the full season. Like he will be a legitimate contender to be in the top five in 75% of the races, but those 25% of the races where he doesn't finish in the top five and or crashes somewhere is what's really going to bite him. And we did see a little bit of that in Indy Lights, and we've seen a couple instances of it, like Nashville last year is a glaring one where it's just like he's obviously fast and talented and amazing, but he makes more mistakes than a Dixon or a Newgarden or a Polo that we just don't see out of those three.
I agree, and I feel like people don't pay as much attention to his mistakes when the rest of the team is equally as shitty, right? So, like, nobody's saying, oh, Herta's not ready for that. It's, oh, Andretti's not ready for Herta to be ready. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? So they're not – it's like Herta can do no wrong. It's Andretti's fault. But Rossi, like, oh, maybe he just sucks. How is that – how is
which
that
is
fair?
Laughable.
Totally laughable.
If someone's tweeting that, I want to find that.
Oh, I'll find it for you. Okay. I'll find it for you. Because it happened.
Before we go to recapping, I do want to ask a question. Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan. They're definitely not up to the pace that I thought they would be when we were hyping them up before the season. Graham did finish 7th, recovering from a P13 qualifying effort, but Harvey was kind of invisible again, unfortunately, and then Lundgaard had his issue with the running of the fuel. Are you guys as surprised as me as that their first three races really haven't gone well at all?
Here's what I think. I think Ray Hall doesn't get good until after Indy. I think they put all their focus on Indy. They get through these first three races, like, let's make them, let's just get there. And then they spend a shit ton of time making those cars really good for Indy and then hopes that it saves the season. That's my hot take.
I will kind of play the middle there and say I'm kind of surprised because I thought we would see a little bit more than we have. I'm not saying like totally surprised. You know, these first couple races aren't easy tracks, but yeah, it's still disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, Graham is the team leader. I don't think that was going to be a surprise to too many people. But I definitely thought the 45 car would come out a little stronger on the road courses. And so far, it just hasn't been there. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Will they rebound in Barber? Probably not. But who knows? I guess nobody has a crystal ball. So speaking of crystal balls, we will go to our prediction recap. Shannon, you had someone in top five, Willpower, on your winner prediction. Good job.
Thank you.
Host had Rossi, who was the lowest of our picks. So, L. And also, you picked Rossi, then something went wrong with him. So, it's your fault. And I'm pretty sure Shannon gave you a Michael when you made that pick. So
I did. I told you not to jinx him.
And then I had Newgarden. That's a shame. It's a real shame. Dark Horse top 10. Shannon nailed it. Kirkwood. Well done. Host Pixado.
Not nailed it.
Not nailed it.
Not nailed it.
And opposite of nailed it.
I took a cop out with Rossi and I won, but I don't want to celebrate that. Biggest struggle. Shannon picked Johnson. Well done.
Thank you.
Nailed it.
Three for three. Host picked Rosenquist. Not sort of, not really. Good qualifying.
Average. I would say no, but not like the worst pick I've ever had.
He did finish.
That's saying something.
P11, Shannon. What do you think? Is that a struggle? Ran around the
top
10 all day.
He had more potential to finish higher. So I would say based on how he started and where he finished, yeah, that was a struggle bus.
And then I had VK. I didn't touch on his incident. He did an Ed Jones and stuffed it into the chicane. What am I thinking of? Hairpin. You stuffed it into the hairpin. And it's funny because Ray Hall.
What words you're using.
I don't even know. Ray Hall was saying after the race, he's like, sorry, Elio, I had to like throw you under the bus and let VK hit you because I saw it coming a mile away. I'm like, whoop. So yeah, I had VK. Host is a struggle. The mind's a struggle. First out. Who was first out? Call it. Well, at least the social media is good. And then, because Shannon picked Daly, Host picked Power, and I picked Kirkwood, so we all whiffed.
Ooh.
And then best rookie, Shannon said Kirkwood. W, Host said Malukas.
Not W.
I know he got taken out, but he was not really running well anyways, unfortunately.
Once he got that penalty, it kind of put him on the back foot the rest of the day.
Yeah, still... I have to remind myself they're just rookies and I need to be more patient. But three races in, I'd say the only two rookies that I'm really paying attention to at this point are Kirkwood and Ilott.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.
You always...
The other ones I'm kind of just meh.
It's just a lot of rookies.
Yeah. It is a lot of rookies.
They can all be good.
Yeah, we're only used to having the last couple of years, especially with COVID kind of screwing things up, we only had like one or two rookies to pay attention to. So it's been a little bit of a weird adjustment to have so many out there. But yeah, right now Kirkwood and Ilott are the ones I'm focusing on. And I had Lundgaard. Obviously didn't do very well. And who was your guys' driver of the day?
Oh.
Well, let's take the winner, Joseph Newgarden.
I'm going to go with Alex Palou.
Well, here, I was going to go Grosjean. Just because this whole team.
So the podium. We just took the podium. Cool.
We all copped out.
Disappointment of the day or no?
Us. The disappointment of the day is the cell service in pit lane. That is the disappointment of the day.
Oh, yeah. How's the Twitter game from the pit lane?
Oh.
Terrible. Garbage. Non-existent.
Did you think to try tweeting on a Google Pixel?
It wouldn't have mattered.
I did. And it wouldn't have, it didn't go. Didn't matter.
You could have had like the most powerful hotspot standing on a pit box and you still weren't getting any reception.
It was horrific. So my apologies if pit lane is going to continue to be a cellular suck, then I can't tweet during the race. And I'm trying. You'll just have to get updates after.
What do you guys have Verizon?
Yeah.
I have FirstNet, which is a first responders network. So it's supposed to work anywhere because I feel like first responders need to be places.
So if I suffer a heart attack, should I call you?
Nope.
No.
Well, what's the point then?
I don't know. I get it through work. I don't pay for it.
Oh, okay. disappointment of the day. Who was your driver? We'll say that.
Who was my disappointment driver?
Yes.
Colton Herta.
That's another cop out.
That feels like Simon Pagenaud.
Okay, explain.
Because he came in all like, we're going to do great here. And he did okay in practice and in qualifying. And then he ended up in the roses.
But I think that was a Sato. Like he got Sato.
I know, but it still doesn't make me not disappointed in it.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. I wanted him to do better. So I'm disappointed he didn't.
Yeah, I would say if it's not Devlin, then... go ahead.
Did you get the picture?
I did. Hang on, we'll get to that in a second. If it's not Devlin, I would say Ericsson, just because he was running so well. And I don't know the inner workings of Chip Ganassi. I'm assuming Dixon will be back next year. I'm assuming Pelot will be back next year. And if Jimmy Johnson wants to return, I'm assuming he'll be back next year. That makes that 8 seed pretty coveted in the free agency market, especially if you look at how good Ganassi is right now. And there are two guys in particular coming maybe into free agency next year with Award and Rossi that would be great fits for that team. So those kind of errors that Erickson make that he's kind of prone to every now and then might not be the best year to make those mistakes is all I'm going to say. So
yeah,
he was running so well until he wasn't. So he'd be my disappointment day. So yes, the picture that I asked for when I was questioning just how short Devlin DeFrancesco actually is, I guess that's something along the lines of, is he taller than Host? but then that drew a reaction that Shannon was maybe more of a benchmark. And there is a moment where Devlin is giving an interview and Shannon is standing, 6 inches to the left of him or whatever?
Yeah.
This was at a happy hour. This wasn't even an interview. This is a...
Oh, this was even in the bullpen? Oh, my God.
No, we were at a happy hour and I was like, we have to do this now or it's never going to happen. So we did.
So we can confirm... Well, you were...
Can confirm I'm taller.
Taller.
I'm
and you
taller.
Were how tall?
I am 5'1".
I mean...
He's speechless.
He is speechless.
So, yes, can confirm that Devlin is shorter, but I would still never strap myself into IndyCar, so he still got me beat there. Only a couple things to get to before we wrap up. Are we going to have an episode next week of some kind, or are we just going to take a week off? We're taking a week off next week. Don't miss us too much. There is going to be an IndyCar test at IMS next week, though, so we will keep our eyes on that and tweet any updates if appropriate.
I should be there both days. I might be a little late on the Thursday, I think. Yeah, a couple hours late. But
now it means it's going to rain.
Well, it was funny. Somebody was tweeting, and Shannon and PLP were on the Twitter thread, saying, oh, it's going to rain Thursday anyway, so one of the days is going to be a washout. But they thought the test was this week, not next week. So I was confused. That's what started my whole, I have no idea what day it is anymore chain reaction. But I should be there both days next week, at least a day and a half, maybe. Thursday is kind of probably after lunchtime.
So we'll keep our eyes on that and tweet anything noteworthy. There is growing buzz about the 33rd entry on various outlets on Twitter that it might be a second Yukos car with Beth Peretta.
Yes. I literally, when we started recording, I got a pretty confident message that it could be that. And actually from a source who gave us the Andretti F1 stuff last year, so I'm
it's full of shit then.
Yeah, leads me to believe that it's a that could be the combo, and I think they might have gotten a little encouragement from IndyCar, like, hey, you've got this stuff, why don't you use it?
Is that the second Carlin car?
I believe it. Believe it? No, because
Or is that Peretta's car?
No, it's the second Carlin car. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they used a Yunkos chassis last year anyway, so they'll be right at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone else is going to be like, wow, it's just as slow as it was last year. So we'll keep our eyes on that. I'm guessing they're going to try to probably announce before the test, at least that's what logic would say you would do, but who knows? Nothing in the world makes sense anymore. Toronto is officially back. I mean, they've been on the schedule this entire time, but we're getting a lot of momentum and announcements and whatnot related to the race that's going to happen. So that's good news. We'll be back to Toronto finally for the first time since 2019. So that's great. And then the last thing I wanted to get your guys' feedback on was Pato O'Ward's comments about focusing less on listening to quote-unquote other people referring to the European side of the McLaren wings and focusing more on what he was doing last year and believing in himself and trusting his own feedback. There are a lot of different ways you could take his full quotes and context and whatnot. What did you guys, because he did seem very with it this weekend in the race, which was very good. Kind of like seemed like old Pato. What did you make of his comments and what that means for his direction for the remainder of the season?
So my first thought was, well, from what I understand, like Zach Brown and the European side of things will be, you know, 100% running things in May, I believe. So he might want to start listening to them. But at the same time, it's kind of also disappointing that McLaren is just kind of saying, like, this is how it's going to be, when clearly last year Pato was a championship contender. What, he finished third or fourth on the points at the end of the year last year?
Is that before or after Ed Jones ruined him?
That's why I can't remember. I don't remember how far he dropped.
I think he ended up third, but I'll check in a second.
And anyway, it's disappointing to hear that, because you have a legitimate championship contender, and clearly you're not utilizing him in the right way, which is a bit of a bummer. But also at the same time, I think it was important for him to kind of block everything out and focus on the race this weekend. And yes, he finished third. I have multiple people showing me that he finished third. Thank you. So yeah, I mean, good to see that he was able to block it out, but it's definitely concerning that McLaren, there seems to be some sort of disconnect.
Do you know Ed Jones finished 19th last year?
Ed Jones. I don't understand why. I don't understand why they are so dead set on not listening to him. Like,
yes,
he obviously has the talent and knows what his car needs for him to drive it the way he can drive it well. So what is the pushback? I don't understand. We have this conversation in the car. Like, what are they doing? Why are they not listening to him? That's my question.
I think it's a classic case of, it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But it is broke.
No, like last year.
But it doesn't seem to be the same as last year.
No. So what I'm saying is, like, Pato was doing just fine last year. Was there a thing or two that he could clean up? Yes. But I don't think that means, like, let's make sweeping changes to his driving style or his feedback or what he gives
no,
the teams.
No, but what I'm saying is that he's asking for more from his team. And if what he currently has is not the same as last year, which obviously based on performance, it's not. If he's asking for that again, he's not getting it.
Right. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, like, we're on the same page. We're on the same page that, like, whatever Pato did last year needs to happen again.
Right. And they're just not doing it.
Right. And to me, I kind of wonder where Taylor Kyle is in all of this, because they were, like, attached at the hip last year. And is he getting this feedback and kind of, you know, passing it up the ladder and saying, like, listen, we need to do X, Y, and Z to get Pato back to where he needs to be? Or is the writing on the wall, like, he's gone this year anyways, like, why do we care?
Or option C, is Taylor Kyle more worried about his own job, so he's just listening to whatever the higher-ups are saying and saying, yes, man, and just saying, well, Pato, this is how it is.
But
not saying that's right.
I know, but if you're listening to someone and you're still not getting results, then I feel like that negates one or the other. Like, if you want to listen to them and you're winning, then great. But if you're listening to them and you're not winning, then I feel like there has to be a change somewhere.
Yeah. And I guess one of the things with the Kyle prediction, or what, I don't even know what word I'm looking for, what you just said about Taylor Kyle, that unfortunately means that he would have to put all of his eggs in the Felix Rosenquist basket. And is there a basket that you would be less likely to put all your eggs in right now than Rosenquist? Because that would be one. A nice Easter reference by me. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Would there be one less basket you want to throw all your eggs into right now than Rosenquist? Because that doesn't seem like it's going to be the best basket. I think out of all the veteran drivers, the only one I'd be less likely to put him in would be Sato.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. I don't have an answer. The answer is no. I don't think they should go in the Rosenquist basket by any means, but
This just seems like an impending implosion that we've been accustomed to seeing from McLaren behind the scenes that we've gotten the last couple of years. Also, if Pato doesn't want to deliver the feedback in the manner that the European side of McLaren wants to give him, then I don't think he would ever do well in Formula One, because that is all they do on that side of things. So,
but he could also, like, could be one of those, I'm trying to force my way out so they don't match his contract or whatever, you know, that clause is in his contract. So
first refusal,
he could, like, you know, just be trying to, like, piss them off so much but still provide decent results so he can get another, you know, job next year, but still, you know, have McLaren kind of be like, well, we're so tired of dealing with the Pato of 2022, we don't want to deal with it anymore. Again, well, hypothetical earlier, but
well, as we said in an earlier episode, all you have to do is get in touch with ESPN the magazine and there you go, there's your foot out the door right there.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know, I don't have an answer for it. I don't have an answer for what half the teams are doing in these days. I'm at a loss.
Anyways, that's all I had. Talked about baskets. For those who celebrate Easter this weekend, hope you have fun. You guys doing anything fun?
Just going to my grandparents.
I will. Well, my plans changed. Host the fourth has COVID, so he is okay.
Host the fourth. Feel better.
He is okay. He is feeling better. But it was a very, very hectic set. Was that Saturday morning?
Yeah, I think it was Saturday.
Saturday morning, I walked into the media center and, you know, my parents don't really call me on race. Like, I talk to my dad all race weekend, every weekend, you know, texting, talking about what's going on. Usually during the race, my dad will text me things that, like, the TV crew is saying, which is, you know, very helpful. My mom called me Saturday, like, as soon as I walked into the media center. I'm like, oh, no. And, yeah, I'm not going to go home for Easter. Cancel my flight. As soon as I canceled my flight and I walked to pit lane, I went, I still have to go home to deal with some things from 2021. If you can read between the lines, you can figure it out. I'm just going to leave it
Is that your missing lottery? Your missing lottery ticket that you forgot to cash in?
Forgot to cash in a lottery ticket. Yep. So okay, got to go home to cash in the lottery ticket.
You're all up to speed at home, in case you were wondering.
Yep. So then I went, now I have to go home. So I changed it to Saturday so I can... Hopefully at that point, dad's healthy. My mom's continued to test negative, so that's good. So, yeah.
So I heard all the words that just came out of your mouth, but basically what you're saying is your weekend's going to be completely dog shit.
I hope not. I hope, you know, we can still hang out at home and you know, we'll see. It's TBD, but as long as my dad's feeling better, which as of when I talked to him an hour or two ago before recording, he was, that's what's most important. And we'll end on a happy note like that. Everybody, again, no episode next week. F1 episode. Yeah, miss us or not.
Or don't.
Yeah, or don't. I don't
know. Not what I thought you said at all.
Yeah.
What you think I said?
Well, that's another after the episode moment.
And everybody have a lovely weekend.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!